A couple of years ago, I was going to interview Adam Parfrey, who was the founder and publisher and editor of Feral House Books. And he's a pretty straight shooter. He's passed away, now, but he was an honest guy, published some interesting books, some controversial books, never said that, you know, this was what he believed in or what he thought about publishing some of his more controversial titles, but was always honest in just wanting to get the ideas out there and let people soak up those ideas for what they were. Yeah. Let you decide what you thought. Anyway, during the discussion about this profile I was going to write about him, which never happened because no one wanted a profile over on him. No matter who I pitched, they just kind of passed or didn't respond. But the one stipulation that he put on this whole profile was, and this was his quote, "Don't make it a blowjob," which means he didn't want a glowing profile that ignored some of his failings, some of his shortcomings, any controversy. He wanted everything included in that profile, warts and all, as you would say. And I admired him for that honesty, and he was going to get what he asked for if it happened. It didn't happen. I bring this up because the Tough Business podcast, which Travis Brown, former UFC fighter Travis Brown, and John Fosco do, they interviewed Dana White, UFC president Dana White, and it was, to quote Parfrey, it was a blowjob. Maybe not the best term to use, but you get the idea. It was a hagiography. It was nothing short of glowing. It pointed out nothing bad about White. It ignored a lot of facts about White. It was really an embarrassment from a journalistic point of view and from a factual point of view. It was an embarrassment. It was also an embarrassment of riches for someone like me who wants to pick apart things and bring, you know, power down to size, and plenty of opportunities to do so in this interview. And that is what I'm going to do in today's episode of the Come On Now MMA podcast. It is Tuesday, September 7th. Again, I am Trent Rinesmith, and going to be discussing one thing tonight, and that is the interview that Dana White did on the Tough Business, which, come on now, the name, there was nothing tough about this, Tough Business podcast. And jump right into some of the things. That first thing that I noted, and I tweeted this, but I'm going to go into a little more than I did on the tweets. One of the first things he said in this, which is about being an entrepreneur, and I'll get into that multiple times during my discussion here. But one of the first things that Dana White said it is that he found out at a young age that he didn't want to work for someone else and that he wanted to work for himself. Well, right now he works for all the stockholders in the parent company, who he also works for, of the UFC, Endeavor. So not only does he work for Endeavor and the CEO of Endeavor and the bosses of Endeavor, but he also works for the stockholders of Endeavor. So he's not top of the line in any way. Yeah, he might be the president of the UFC, but he answers to a lot of people, and he is either unaware of that or refuses to acknowledge it. But then if you go back a step as well, he was put in place by the Fertitta brothers, who provided the money to buy the UFC and to keep it afloat while the UFC was losing money. So again, he didn't work for himself. He worked for the Fertitta brothers at the start of the UFC, and now he works for not only Endeavor, but the stockholders of Endeavor. Dana White is not his own boss. He'll tell you that he is. He'll yell that he is. But the big picture, the reality is, no, he is not his own boss. Sorry. He also mentioned during this conversation that he owns his own business. He is, from what I know, he was a part owner of the UFC, but when Endeavor bought the company, they bought all the shares, or the majority of the shares, and if I'm correct, and I might be wrong here, but I think I am correct, Dana White owns 0% of the UFC currently, so come on now. And then during the pandemic, he referred to some parts of the pandemic, and he said, when you look at my company, again, there is no my company in the UFC. You might be the president, but you don't own the company. You're not the boss of the ownership group of the company, and you're not the majority stockholder of the company. Therefore, the only thing you are is the president of the UFC. Now, you could probably get some people to believe that it's your company, but you're an employee just like anyone else of the UFC. Now, you might be the highest paid employee of the UFC, but you're still an employee of the ownership group of the UFC, including the stockholders and the board of directors of Endeavor. During the conversation, Dana White brought up the fact that during the pandemic, no one got laid off and everyone got paid. And I would say that's admirable from a business point of view. A lot of people we know, a lot of businesses cut pay from top to bottom, laid off a ton of people. White did not do that with his employees. Now, just need to note here that the revenue producers of the UFC are the fighters. They are not employees. So they didn't get laid off because you can't lay off an independent contractor. You just don't pay them because they don't have a job to do. And so the UFC fighters, no, they weren't laid off. They also didn't get paid. If they didn't fight, they didn't get paid. If they weren't able to fight because of travel restrictions, because of COVID-19 restrictions, because they were unable to train, they did not get paid. The generating revenue part of the UFC was not safe during the pandemic in a financial way, in any way at all, because they were not and are not employees of the UFC. Don't let this talking point make you believe that the UFC fighters who generate all the revenue for the UFC got taken care of during the pandemic. They did not. They did not. If they were, and if they were able to fight, they had to fight in America and a lot of, besides Fight Island, a lot of travel restrictions, both places. Perhaps they wanted to fight, couldn't get cleared to travel, and therefore were unable to work, even if they wanted to, some of them. And so they didn't get paid. During that whole stretch, did not get paid. Don't let Dana White convince you that he took care of the fighters. He didn't. Travis Brown said during the interview here, you were the one responsible for keeping food on the table for all your athletes. I think he caught himself after saying that, but that's not true. The fighters were responsible for keeping food on their table. Why? Because they're not employees. And so therefore, if they were not fighting, they were not getting paid. Dana White wasn't cutting checks, wasn't providing for these fighters. In fact, I think Kevin Ioli even asked him at some point if the UFC was going to do a stipend. And he kind of laughed about it and said, no, that's not going to happen. And so it didn't happen. So he didn't put any food on the fighter's table. And he doesn't do that now. If a fighter fights, they get paid their show money if they make it to fight night and get in the cage and fight. If they win, they get their win and show money if they're on that kind of contract, which I'd say more than 90% of the UFC fighters are on that type of contract. And then they get paid that way. Who provides the UFC fighters with food to put on the table? The UFC fighters provide themselves with food to put on the table. Not Dana White, not the UFC. Never has been, never will be. White then bragged about making things safe, and I point you to Bloody Elbow. You can just Google the comprehensive list of UFC fighters who have tested positive for COVID-19. It is a long list, and would lead you to believe that there was no real safety involved here in the UFC during COVID-19. Fight Island, a good job was done there, but Fight Island was paid for by the Abu Dhabi government. They did all of that. Don't let Dana White convince you that he had anything to do with Fight Island. That was all Ari Emanuel and the Abu Dhabi government, and the Abu Dhabi government footed the bill for all of that, including the COVID-19 testing, including the bubble that kept everyone. For the most part, I think, I don't recall there being a positive COVID-19 test on Fight Island. So Abu Dhabi government did an excellent job of creating a bubble and maintaining a bubble. The UFC in the UFC Apex, that's a different story. You can just go back and look at how many fights got canceled because of COVID-19 quote-unquote protocols on fight week or even on fight day because of protocols. So don't think there was a safety net there. It might have been a safety plan. It might have been written down. It might have been distributed, but it was definitely not enforced to the utmost, if at all. White was ranting and raving about the media, and Fosco said to White, obviously you have thick skin, which made me laugh, and it's making me laugh now just thinking about it, because anyone in the media who has criticized Dana White in a public forum knows that he has paper-thin skin. He cannot take criticism. And he showed that in this video when he spoke about fighter pay, which I will get into shortly. But the idea that Dana White has thick skin is a farce. And I don't know, you'd have to be a real Dana White fan to believe that, because he's proven over and over and over that he has paper-thin skin. And then White was talked about the criticism he got from the MMA media and the media in general, including him ranting about the New York Times for a little bit. And then Fosco said to him, because of the criticism, he asked White if the humanity in him was ever worn down because of this criticism. And I don't know where that came from, but just roll that around in your mind and think about Dana White and the humanity inside Dana White, and see if you can connect that in some way and get it to work for you. I couldn't, and I don't think I will be able to do so ever, but maybe you can. If you can, let me know, because I'd like to hear how you made that work for yourself, because it's a stretch. And then White went on his rant here about pay and the media, and he said, when you build something great, it's always surrounded by negativity. When in your business like us, the level of scumbag that are in the media is unexplainable, and it's going on right now. And then he got mad, brought up all the facts that, you know, the media tells the fighters that they're being underpaid, and that the media, he then said the media doesn't know anything about the business, doesn't know anything about the financials of the business, doesn't know anything about the numbers of the business. And the quote here was, every media member that talks about fighter pay is a scumbag who is basically just out there to get attention because they literally know nothing about the business or the payout or how any of that shit works. And I would say bullshit, because John Nash and Paul Gift and Jason Cruz know a lot about it because they've been following the lawsuit, the class action suit, and they got all the information that's been released. So they know the information. The information that those guys put out there to share with everyone in the media, thank them for that, please. I thank them for that. They're doing the heavy, heavy lifting on this. And the rest of us are kind of just glomming on to them. So they do the real work, and the other, we just kind of follow because they've been involved from the get-go and know the ins and outs, and they know the numbers. They break down the numbers. They talk about the numbers because those numbers are in the lawsuit. So Dana White still is in denial that we know these numbers, or refuses to believe that we know these numbers, or doesn't know what's going on. It could be a combination of all of them. It probably is. But we know the numbers. We know the revenue split. We know what fighters made in the past and are probably still making, because we know the plan was for the UFC to keep the pay at about 80% for the UFC, 20% or less for the fighters. That was the plan. That's why Endeavor bought the UFC, because it's a money-making machine. And the plan is to keep minting that money and not share it. We know the deal. White repeating that we don't know isn't going to make it true. You can't repeat a lie endlessly and have it come true. White would like you to believe that. It's not true. The only person that's being a scumbag and dishonest about all this is Dana White. And then after his rant, where he got a little red and got a little upset, he said and this was the quote, he literally could give a fuck about the media reporting on pay. Literally give a fuck. And I want to point this out because White misuses this statement all the time. It's couldn't give a fuck, because if you could give a fuck, well, you give a fuck. So White says he couldn't literally give a fuck about the UFC and the MMA media. And yeah, it's true, because he cares. He says he doesn't care, but when he goes on these rants about the scumbags and how we don't know anything, even though we do know a lot, He only points out the fact that he cares. If he didn't care, he would just say, I don't care, not my concern, and move on. Instead, he gets mad, he rants, he raves, he tries to convince everyone that we don't know what we're talking about when we have the numbers. He's full of shit. He'll remain full of shit. And if he would just acknowledge the fact that we know these things, maybe he would feel a little bit better about himself. But he's still out there trying to convince us that he doesn't, that we don't know what we know. And then I note here that 25 minutes into this interview, which is 45 minutes long, which is about Dana White being an entrepreneur, not one mention of the Fertitta brothers or the billions of dollars they had that made the purchase of the UFC possible. Dana White's not the entrepreneur here. The Fertitta brothers are. Dana White was the guy that kind of came along for the ride. If it wasn't for the Fertitta brothers, Dana White wouldn't have been able to be involved with the UFC at all. The Fertitta brothers provided the money. White brought the opportunity, sure, but he also brought an empty pocket with that opportunity. If he wanted to buy the UFC, he wouldn't have been able to do so without the Fertitta brothers. Now, you want to convince me that Dana White was an entrepreneur? You show me that Dana White could have got the money together to buy the UFC without the Fertitta brothers and had a plan in place to do so, had the Fertitta brothers turned that down, a sound plan, a plan that was approved by a bank that was going to loan him the money to lose millions and millions and millions of dollars before a profit was turned, then I'll believe Dana White's an entrepreneur. Until then, Dana White is a lucky guy who knew a couple billionaires and got them to fork over millions of dollars and lose millions of dollars before they turned that into making billions of dollars. The entrepreneurs, the brains, the money, the guys that are no longer involved with the UFC, the guys that are buying boats and sitting in their mansions, the guys that don't have to work, those are the Fertitta brothers. And then to talk a little bit here about Travis Brown. Travis Brown comes across as a bootlicker at the very best in this interview. Former UFC fighter. Here's what he said about pay. You guys always paid me what you said you were going to pay me, and most of the time it was actually more. So all these people that are complaining about it, that are just talking shit about it, at the end of the day, I'm the one that signed that contract, and then I'm going to turn around and bitch about it. I'm going to bitch about it to an effing reporter or something like that. That doesn't make sense to me as a man. I signed a contract if I wanted to get paid more. And you guys have always been upfront about it. Hey, if I'm a free agent, go find a better deal, blah, blah, blah. And then he just kind of, you know, kisses the boot of Dana White for paying him what he contracted him. Now, all right, so the UFC paid what he contracted you, which was poor, which was a smidgen of the revenue that they generated. Just because you were happy with to get the scraps doesn't mean you were paid right. You got ripped off, and you're thanking the guy that ripped you off. That's a bad look for Travis Brown. We know the fighter's getting 18% of the revenue or less. And Travis Brown's out here being, well, you gave me the scraps you promised me, and I'm happy with that. Fine. But when that company turns around and sells for billions of dollars and is still paying these guys scraps, that's not fine. Travis Brown can kiss Dana White's ass all he wants. Doesn't make the pay in the UFC fair. Doesn't make the pay in the UFC right. Just because you accept the poor pay doesn't make it right. It just means that you accept the poor pay and that you're afraid to, you either are afraid to stand up for yourself or won't stand up for yourself. And that's on you as a man, Travis Brown, as you put here, as a man that didn't sit well with you. Come on now. So if you're okay with getting paid crappy, fine. Not everybody is. And the ones that aren't should stand up and complain, because the UFC is ripping them off. And this was mentioned in the interview as well, as the question about Francis Ngannou being brought up. And it was brought up in a kind of a negative way, as if he should be grateful for the UFC for giving him the opportunity to go out there and fight for a living and make scraps, pennies on the dollar. And White said, if you want to fight, you can fight. We have fights every Saturday. If you want to fight, we have a fight. If you don't want to have a fight, you don't have to have a fight. Then tore into his manager and said he doesn't know the history of the UFC and stuff like that. And I would say that manager does know the history of the UFC, and that's why he is fighting for Francis Ngannou to get his money, because he knows if he doesn't get the money now when he's the champion, he's not going to get the money when he's not the champion. This is the small window of opportunity for Francis Ngannou to make the most money he can in this shitty sport. And if he has to sit out and wait to make that money, He's probably better off doing that than taking the crap that the UFC is going to try and feed him. White's message here is, you don't know the history. But I would say he does know the history. And the history is, you're going to underpay this guy for as long as you can and get away with it for as long as you can. So I'm going to fight for him to get what he deserves now. And then White, of course, disparaged the management, said they were bad people giving him bad advice. I 100% disagree. If you're a manager and Dana White says you're a bad manager and that you're giving bad advice, take that as a compliment. You're fighting for your client. If Dana White says you're a good manager and you work and you're easy to work with, that isn't the ultimate insult. And if I was your client, I would fire you the minute that statement left White's mouth, because I know then that you don't care about me. You only care about making your money and your 10 to 15 or 20%. You don't care about me. You care about getting that money, or else you'd be fighting for me and trying to get more and more from me and not be quote unquote easy to get along with. There is one thing that I will agree with Dana White on in this interview, is that he said he is good at surrounding himself with talented people. I 100% agree with that. Dana White is good at surrounding himself with talented people. There's plenty of people now in the UFC that are talented and great at their jobs. What I worry about for those people is their ability to blossom and do their jobs to the best of their ability to help the UFC grow, to help the fighters grow, to help the business get bigger. Because we know Dana White is a stubborn man. We know that most of what happens in the UFC doesn't get done without Dana White's approval. And we know Dana White has a, if it's not broken, don't even think about fixing it attitude. He doesn't like change. If things are running smoothly, he doesn't want to change. Very seldom do we see big wholesale changes in the UFC. And that's because White likes it safe. He knows what makes the money because it's what's been making the money. And he refuses to even try something different for fear that, I don't know what the fear is, but the fear, there should never be fear. Trying something different only leads to improvement. If you try something and it fails, well, you can always go back. If you try something and it works, well, then you reap the profits of that. White doesn't have that mindset. And then you're going to tell me he's some kind of genius entrepreneur when he's not even willing to try change, to try experimentation, to try anything new? Come on. White likes it safe. He knows what makes money now. He knows what makes money in the past. And you're going to have a hell of a time convincing him otherwise that something is going to benefit him if you try and change it. And that's what I'm worried about with this, with the top employees. These people are, they're good people, they're smart people, but they work for someone who is going to keep his thumb on them and not allow them to blossom and to really show what they can do. And that bothers me a great deal. White talks about money a little bit, and Travis Brown drops this whopper. You kept it humble, and White says 100%, and that also, if you know Dana White, along with his thin skin, humble is not something we see from Dana White, not often. And then White dropped some thoughts of his own on the pandemic and COVID-19, and how the quote, I think, was close to, you've got people who aren't going back to work and are living off the government, and then tells people to go out there and be entrepreneurs on their own. Again, the interview ends 45 minutes and 55 seconds into it with the advice of going out there, go get yours, be an entrepreneur. 45 minutes, 55 seconds, not one single mention of the name Fertitta or billions of dollars that the Fertitta brothers had. This was a sad example of an interview. It was a bad interview. It was an interview that was designed just to make Dana White look good. It was an ass-kissing interview. It gave you the illusion that Dana White is some kind of genius entrepreneur, when at best he was a guy that convinced his rich friends to buy the UFC and prop him up as the boss. Did Dana White do a good job promoting the brand UFC? Yes. Did Dana White do a good job of promoting Dana White and the UFC? Yes. Did Dana White do a good job of promoting any fighters? No. When fighters get too powerful, they get knocked down to size. Francis Ngannou, John Jones, There's no fighter that will ever be as big as the brand. That's not the design. The design is you watch UFC every Saturday. You tune in and watch UFC. Does it matter who's on there? Rarely. Rarely. The goal is, was, and has been to promote the UFC. Was that Dana White's doing? I don't know. It was probably the Fertitta brothers doing. I will go to the grave saying the Fertitta brothers were the brains of this operation, and Dana White was the guy they put in charge. And to give Dana White credit in this 45-minute, almost 46-minute interview with being the sole driver of the UFC is a farce. It's laughable. But with the Fertitta brothers out of the picture, that's going to be the goal from now. The UFC is going to be now Dana White's. We're not going to hear Fertitta brothers. We're going to hear Dana White, UFC, Dana White, UFC. It's going to be beaten into our brains. And sooner or later, all us old men and women that have been covering it honestly for years and years and know the facts, we're all going to drop out, die, and it's just going to be Dana White, UFC, genius, entrepreneur. None of that's true. Do a little research. Start with the Fertitta brothers. Start with the Fertitta brothers putting up the money to buy the UFC, the three letters, which is what they bought, and then branding that three letters, turning it into something huge, losing millions and millions of dollars before they turn a profit, almost giving up, but sticking with it. So this was a bad interview. It was embarrassing. And if I was any of the principals of this interview, and that goes for Dana White too, White, Brown, Fosco, if I was any of those people, I would be embarrassed and ashamed by what they did here. Odds are they won't be, because to produce something like this and put it out there and show it shows that shame is not something they have. So that's it. I'm going to call that an episode. And if you have any comments, let me know. If you want to discuss anything, let me know. If you want to just tell me that I'm jealous, know that you're incorrect. I'm not jealous of a hollow human being. Never will be. I'm pretty happy where I'm at. Believe that or not, doesn't matter to me. That's on you. And on that note, I hope everyone has a good night and stay safe.